You're listening to the Tuesday Morning Show. This is member supported, KEXE, KBXE. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer.
We receive support from Lake Country Power, a Touchstone Energy Cooperative, energy that powers our lives, lakecountrypower.coop. And we receive support from the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, building our hunting and conservation legacy through habitat, education, and advocacy. MNDeerHunters.com.
Today we begin a conversation about bird decline on the Tuesday Morning Show. Joining us now is Mark Jacobs, retired land commissioner of Aiken County. He now works with organizations like Dovetail Partners, a nonprofit, fostering sustainability and responsible behaviors through collaboration. Mark, thanks so much for being with us today. Oh, let's see. I'm not able to hear you. He's brought with him... I think we can hear you now, Mark. Oh, no, not...
Not quite yet.
Okay. He's bringing... Peter... Let me. Here we go.
Peter Deezer.
Deezer is joining us now. I almost got the pronunciation. He's from the American...
That's all right. I saved you from having to pronounce
Bird Conservancy. Thanks so much for being here, and we'll see if Mark can... join us in just a moment here. But we let's talk a little bit about the American Bird Conservancy. What do you do with them?
Yeah, absolutely. So American Bird Conservancy was created in 1994 and is dedicated to conserving resident and migratory birds and their habitats throughout the Americas. So we work in the Western Hemisphere. So we concentrate on full life cycle conservation. So those neo-migratory birds that stop over in Central America and migrate down to Central or South America, we work with those local governments and landowners as well to protect and conserve that habitat. We concentrate on science-based strategies to halt extinctions, protect and conserve habitats, eliminate threats, and build like capacity for long-term bird conservation throughout the Americas. And I'm the Minnesota Public Lands Director and work with our Great Lakes team to implement bird conservation here in the Great Lakes. And I concentrate mostly on Minnesota public lands.
That's a pretty tall order. Minnesota's lucky in a way. We have a fair amount of public land. So you have a large area to cover and more than one biome.
That's right. Yeah, we live at the intersection of a number of biomes. So our tallgrass prairie, broadleaf forests, and boreal forests kind of all intersect in Minnesota and make for a really unique ecological landscape, and really puts us at the forefront of needing to consider what we can do to stop this bird decline that we've seen become a reality throughout the United States and really throughout the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah, so... What birds, maybe from a Minnesota perspective, what birds are of utmost concern right now?
Well, I work with early successional habitat species. So the golden-winged warbler, American woodcock, they utilize those young forest habitats where they do desire a lot of internal structure, but it's kind of a young forest state. So picture young aspen or brushlands, kind of regenerating forest. But we're seeing bird species declines across the range of our Minnesota forested habitats and really our habitats throughout the United States. And, you know, by 20 to 30% in the eastern forests and the boreal forests, we're seeing species decline across all species. And in a lot of cases, not just those threatened species like I work with directly, but also common species have declined precipitously since 1970 when this report came out. So it's become an ecological and biological need that kind of hints at some bigger ecosystem, I think, trends that, you know, birds are serving as kind of a bioindicator that we have some conservation challenges ahead of us and we need to work together to maintain the integrity of our natural habitats.
Yeah, it's alarming when you actually think about it, just how dire the situation has become. I know in conversations with people many years ago when I first started doing phenology on the radio, there would be people who would find an injured bird and they would want the state or somebody to get the bird and recover it. And sure. It took me a while to realize that one individual bird wasn't as important as preserving the habitat that bird needed. Because if you preserve the habitat, that bird may not be okay, but the species will be okay. So
that's absolutely right. And we live in a lot of interconnected systems. So, you know, you might not realize just how important maybe, you know, I manage for breeding habitat in young forest openings, but those young forest openings are often used by forest interior species to browse or for other life cycle needs. So maintaining diversity on the landscape, knowing what you have in your backyards, on your properties, and just doing some small things. People think if they don't own land, there's nothing they can do to support conservation in general, but also bird conservation. That's just not the case. To mitigate the fall of, you know, 29% of our bird population since 1970, 2.9 billion birds. There's a lot people can do just by working in their backyards to help out, or buying shade-grown coffee, or not using pesticides, or keeping their cats indoors, being aware that birds hitting windows kills hundreds of millions of birds a year, and trying to do some things like put up some decals and some bird tape to reduce that. So there's just a great opportunity for all of us to work together to make positive change.
And Mark, are you able to hear us now? Shoot, that's not working. We'll give him, we're going to have him join us via phone right now. He'll give us a call at the station, I think. Thanks so much for being here, though, Peter. We're enjoying this conversation. So cat owners, do not put those cats outside. That would help things. Is that right?
It makes a huge difference, actually. Over 2 billion birds a year die to cats, both, you know, like your cat or feral cats. And it just... it just makes a tremendous difference to just be aware of that much. And frankly, you'll see a heck of a lot more in your backyard if you keep that cat indoors. And putting out some, you know, some bird feeders and some nesting boxes to emulate some cavities for those nesters, you know, for those who require that. Even if the swifts and the swallows take over your nest boxes for bluebirds, like, don't worry about that. They've declined too. So it's good to see them all. And those small things make a real big difference.
What is something that a person could do in their yard in terms of gardening or just general planting that would be beneficial to all birds or to a species of bird in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. So using native plants is a really great place to start. Kind of knowing what occurs across the landscape. There's some beautiful wildflowers, and those will help pollinators as well, which will in turn benefit bird species. Kind of learn as well some of those plants that our hummingbirds will use. And that's a great way to attract some of those buzzing around your yard. You can also set out some feeders for them. But in addition to gardening, native shrubs and trees, having some different sizes of those. If you own some, even, you know, large-ish property, not hundreds of acres, but, you know, keeping some of that wild and brushy and having kind of a mix of ages of trees out there can have great benefits. Standing dead trees can also benefit a whole suite of species.
So I'm curious, I've got a 40 acre plot, and 4 years ago I had some logging done, mostly thinning of pines, but I have some areas where there were aspens that were cleared out. And how big a patch of new forest of that sort of thing becomes viable? How much area does a golden-winged warbler need of new forest?
It depends a little bit on what's in your neighborhood. If you already have some natural openness, that can be additive to it. But 5 to 10 acres, you can start to see some results for golden wings. And note that they do in the interior of those sites like some structure retained, and especially some tall trees. Some of the previous overstories aspen that's about 9 inches in diameter or so, 10 to 15 trees per acre can make a real difference out there, especially if your cuts get over 10 acres. And maintaining that diversity is really key. We're learning that golden wings will use those open areas as nesting habitat that have that internal structure, but then they'll use some of that adjacent, really thicker stuff, like we call stem exclusion, maybe 10 to 12 year old aspen that's nice and thick for some protection until they mature to adulthood and move into then the adjacent mature forest. So they really require a diversity of types. So doing something like rotating some of your aspen cutting so that you maintain a mix of young and then regenerating and then older aspen. And keeping those species too, those longer lived conifers and your oaks, when you go and do some management out there, can really have a ton of benefits for a wide range of other species as well, and get some tall, mature trees out there in addition to some of those early successional openings.
Now, I think Mark's able to join us by phone now. Mark, thanks for being here today.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, great. Finally. Never had a problem with this before.
Well,
so anyway,
yeah,
Peter, what are some of the local species that were impacted in particular, certain types of forests seem to have been hit harder than other types, things like that?
Yeah, so I had mentioned kind of both the boreal forest, which extends up into Canada, in the eastern broadleaf forest, which extends kind of into the eastern United States. And the boreal forest has been hardest hit there, with species declining around 30%, and the eastern broadleaf forest closer to approximately 20%. So within the context of that, like golden wing warblers have declined 70% over that time. Wood thrush has declined about 60%. Multiple orioles declined about 40 to 45%. So a lot of common species, even swallows, tree swallows have declined about 49%. And these are species in some cases that we all connect with and we all know. And it's not just our native species, but some introduced species are seeing these declines too. So in some cases, like starlings, like European starlings, which is kind of a breeding pest when it was introduced, you'd kind of expect to sort of start to take over if we lost some of those native species, but we're seeing the decline across the board, which hints at multiple intersecting threats, which are having negative effects on the population, not just in our breeding areas, but also in some of our stopover and winter habitat areas. So doing what you can to support conservation through American Bird Conservancy and other organizations across the entire range of these species is really vital and important.
So is there any good news?
There is some good news, and it kind of speaks to conservation success stories. So wetlands and waterfowl, we've seen a increase in wetlands and a lot of wetland restoration, especially here in Minnesota. And actually, I partner with the Tamarack National Wildlife Refuge, and they have a very robust wetland restoration program. And it's led to actually a rise in waterfowl over the same period of time, and seeing this increase in waterfowl and also in raptors, which since the onset of Silent Spring and the decline in the use of DDT, it speaks to the fact that if we recognize these challenges, we can work together to implement conservation strategies that actually can increase some of these at-risk species. So over this time, waterfowl has increased about 56%. So bird species lost is you know, about 3.2 billion birds. But species gained has been about 250 million. So when I say a decline, there has been some conservation success, and you know, raptors and waterfowl are kind of at the top of that list.
It's good to hear.
So if I were a large landowner, if I owned several hundreds of acres or thousands of acres, what would be my goal? What would your wish for me to do entail?
My wish for you would be to, so there's a number of things. I would assume that you kind of know and love your land and love to get out there and, you know, play and recreate. And so interact with some citizen science things like eBird when you notice what's on your property. It helps catalog it. Researchers do use that. But for there's a number of programs that will help you implement some conservation strategies on your land. ABC has and works with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS offices throughout the state to help private landowners implement conservation strategies, not just for golden-winged warblers, but for other birds as well on their land. And the DNR has a private forest management program where you can reach out and work with a local forester, get a stewardship plan written for your property, where you work with professionals to set up some long-term goals for your property, and really learn what your neighborhood is doing as well. Some talking to your neighbors and seeing what some of their goals are and seeing what they're gonna do. If your neighbor's gonna wholesale cut a bunch of his aspen on his land, it might make sense for you to hold on to yours for a little while longer and maintain some older, more diverse structure adjacent to his property. So, you know, work with your neighbors, work with those experts and resources that are available to you because they can really help you put some neat stuff on your land and interact with positive conservation.
Mark, when you were land commissioner in Aiken, were you keeping these kinds of things in mind in the work you did there?
Certainly. We worked with Peter on a number of projects over the years, and also, you know, we did some forest management practices, and we worked with the Natural Resource Research Institute to do bird monitoring on some of those to look over time, you know, what were the impacts of the forest management activities on birds. Hopefully, in our next segment, we'll talk to some of those people and talk about what Minnesota's forest looks like from the perspective of a bird.
Mark, that's always enticing. I look forward to that. Peter, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. Any final words, individuals, little landowners, gardeners? We talked a little bit about this, but maybe one final roundup for people that are, you know, not in in the great landholding masses.
Yeah, some of those last tips really are kind of just learning those what your natural wildflowers are. What species you know, those hummingbirds and whatnot use? Keep some of your land wild. If you live in an apartment and you feel like there's nothing you can do, buy shade-grown coffee. Bird-friendly products from Central and South American can make a gigantic difference. You know, support your local farmers so that those that, and just understand that a lot of those locally grown products are, you know, really conscientious of supporting some conservation on their landscape as well. And just things on your property like nest boxes and feeding birds and putting out some water for them can make a gigantic difference.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Mark Jacobs. He brought with him Peter Deeser from the American Bird Conservancy. You can call us if you want more information, 800-662-5799. And as Mark said, we'll be continuing this conversation. It'll be our monthly talk about birds. Thanks so much for your time today, both of you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Tuesday Morning Show. Coming up, we'll have Beale Street Caravan.